up, everyone? Welcome to Dropping Dimes, your 2 cents of basketball. My name is Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And sitting across me, back from his trip to Brazil, is Rafael. How are you doing, man?
A bit tired. I'm glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. Not really. I enjoyed having the apartment by myself.
That's going to be me, starting next month.
Yeah, big news, but that's... Wait for it. That will come in a later episode. We are thrilled today. We're honored. It is our pleasure to have our very first guest ever of the pod. And if I had a soundboard, I would do some sort of heroic sound right now. I would like to welcome our very good friend, Jason. How are you doing, man?
What's up, guys? Good to be here. I've got the soundboard for you.
There we go. Man, where were you all these episodes?
Working on my...
That's all we needed. We should call it an episode right there.
No, it's going to take another 5 months for us to work on another one. Another sound.
I've got a few more in the bag, boys.
So I met Jason a few years ago when in my previous job, I was introduced by him by another friend. And as it turned out, Jason, you like playing basketball as well.
I do.
And that's where we sort of clicked, right? And it wasn't just right off the bat, because I think you were about to go on a trip. I can't remember. You were gone for quite a bit. And it wasn't until we actually got to play, I put a team together on a recreational league.
That's right.
Here in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. That was terrible. It was by far one of the worst leagues I've ever played in.
The Monstars, but it was a great experience.
We almost managed to win one game, you remember?
No, we won one game.
Then we tied.
We did win one,
fair and square. We tied one.
Like the ninth game of the season.
Yeah, we lost a bunch.
Yeah. I played only like, how many games did we play?
I think you were there for three solid games. Yeah.
But the one that we almost won and we ended up tying.
You were there.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. I remember that one.
That was by far, I mean, great people.
And then we played against that crazy girl. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. So just for a quick tangent, we were going against this really good team. They've been playing for forever. They even had jerseys. But there was this one girl, and it's a co-ed league. She was going 1,000%. She was going 500 miles an hour. And there were a couple positions where she went in a little too strong. She kicked Rafael in the Netherlands, to put it some way. Obviously, Rafael didn't like that. I had to play peacemaker for a couple of plays. There was this one play. She tried to go for a rebound. She hits the ground hard. She starts crying, rolling on the floor. Obviously, we all got concerned. I offered to call an ambulance. She looked me straight into the eye and say, "Fuck off." So I was like, no, I think she's fine.
But you remember that I...
Physically fine,
yes.
I tried to save a ball that was going out of bounds. And I was almost falling out of bounds. And I just grabbed the ball and I threw the ball against the guy from the other team. And I was aiming at his knee or his legs. And I ended up hitting his balls. Remember that?
I don't remember
that. That's when everything started. Like, they were very upset with that.
Why am I not surprised that you started the entire thing?
But I was not like trying to hit him in the balls. It was just like a coincidence.
So anyways, after that, we kept on playing. We started watching a lot more games together. And now here we are. You're our first guest. And we're super happy to have you here.
Glad to be here.
I don't remember how I met you.
It was during that team.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Basketball, bringing people
together. I thought probably drinking, having a beer or something like that. But no, it was basketball.
I think basketball was first and beer was second. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Our two loves, mutual loves.
In that order.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it. It's been a very exciting start of this season. I don't know if you've been following us on Instagram, but Rafael and I have had a couple of videos going back and forth about our teams. I didn't think the Lakers would struggle this much this early.
I did.
Wait, what?
Let's get to that. Yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Well, there's a reason why you didn't expect that, Rodrigo.
No.
Because you're a fan.
No. I didn't think we were gonna go 10-0. No. I still think we're gonna go 5-5 for our first 10 games. But Jason, tell me, why do you think right off the bat that we would struggle, the Lakers?
Too young of a team.
Too young of a team.
Yeah. You've got LeBron. He's a leader. That's great. Kuzma's awesome. You know, Lonzo Ball, I hate the guy, and we'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will.
But he's good, you know. Lance, he's good. They're all talented, but they're too young, and I don't necessarily mean age-wise. I mean gelling-wise, maybe. You watch them play, they don't play as a team. They don't know how to play together. That's my impression as a Lakers hater.
And also they need...
that was very objective. For a Lakers hater, that was objective.
They need another center because, like, their starter right now is JaVale McGee.
JaVale is averaging like 17.
I am pleasantly surprised.
They need a bigger body, though.
I'm not surprised in the slightest.
We need a sub, but
he just came from the Steve Kerr School of Basketball, all right?
That means nothing. It's JaVale McGee.
Exactly. It's JaVale McGee.
Him and Nick Young, I mean, God, no. I'm knocking on wood right now. But if we sign Nick Young, I'm going to freak out.
But, you know, it's funny to think that you guys could have signed DeMarcus Cousins because he was willing to play for not that much money.
I don't think anyone knew. I think only DeMarcus Cousins knew that he was not getting any offers.
Yeah.
Anyways, the other thing that I'm surprised about, and if you listen to our previous episode, we both said the Blazers looked thin, and you guys are doing fine right now.
Well, it's a similar team to what we had last year, to be honest. I mean, we're 4-2 or 4-3?
5-2.
Five and two.
So, I mean...
And you just beat the Rockets.
We always have Houston.
Yeah, but everyone's beating the Rockets.
Yeah.
Not everyone.
So
almost.
It's Tuesday night now, and we're recording this, and the Blazers just beat the Rockets, right?
Correct, yes.
But you know what? Every year... one player ends up, you know, playing well for the Blazers that you're not expecting. You always know that CJ and Lillard are gonna play well, but then this year is Nick Stauskas. Like he's playing.
I was so upset. So I was in Montreal. I arrived there on Thursday night, Thursday afternoon when was the Lakers season opener against the Blazers. So somehow I managed to stay awake until 10:30 p.m. And me and my girlfriend, we went out to a sports bar in the middle of downtown Montreal. And I was so excited. I was the only guy decked in Lakers gear. I ended up meeting another guy that was from California, huge Lakers fan. We had a good conversation. I almost got into a fight. I should tell you guys that. But anyways, I was watching the game. Up until halftime, I was still pumped. I thought we had it. And then Nick Stauskas comes out of nowhere and saves the Blazers. He had the night of his life. That was stupid.
Yeah, he's making his shots. Alvaro Camino is playing well again. Last year, he was not making any shots. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to him.
I'm just upset that Nick Stauskas beat us. Lillard did nothing that game.
Our backcourt is very, very talented. Mm-hmm. If the guys are making their shots and the shots that Lillard and CJ are creating, then we are a good team. And we just need to defend a little bit better. But, I mean, I think we're going to make it to the playoffs again, especially by looking on to what's happening to the Lakers right now. You guys might have a hard time making to the playoffs. The Nuggets are definitely going to make it because they started well and they have a talented team as well. Jokic.
Honestly, I'm going to say I don't think anyone other than Golden State is guaranteed to make the playoffs in the West.
Yeah,
it's a crapshoot, man. I thought Houston would have been guaranteed. And I would still, even though they're at the bottom or near the bottom, I would still say
they're struggling. Yeah.
They're struggling, but they'll find themselves.
And
New Orleans, Utah, I think they're both, you know, I don't think anyone's a lock except Golden State.
My predictions are early predictions, so I'm risking a lot here. I'm saying that the Blazers will make it and the Nuggets will make it. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're right about both.
But you know what?
I think the Lakers will make it.
Utah Jazz, before the start of the season, I was expecting them to make it for sure. And now I'm not 100% sure if they're going to make it or not. I think last year they were playing better than what they're playing
right
now.
It's way too early. I mean, they're 4-2.
Super early, yeah.
4-2 is 50%, which, I mean, right now they would be guaranteed a spot. It's way too early, and maybe we can do some extremely early predictions. But, you know, it's a matter of letting the first 15 games go by, and then we can start looking at, you know, what's actually the projection for each team.
Yeah.
Having said that, and before we move on to talk about a small conspiracy theory that you have, Jason.
Not a conspiracy theory.
One of the many.
It's a Jason theory.
How
conspiring requires more than one person.
Yeah, the people that listen to this show.
And I hope they agree.
I don't know.
Are we done with the Lakers, though? I wanted to talk about what happened to LeBron last night. He lost the handle and, you know, like the clutch play that he was not even able to shoot the ball.
Honestly, yes, I... it is frustrating to see how, because all the games that we've lost, if you've seen those games, or even if you see the highlights, it's not been a blowout. We've been in the game up until the fourth quarter, which is when we lose the games. And that goes back to what you were saying, yep. Jason. Like, yep. they're a young core. You have Lonzo, Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, even Josh Hart. And the veterans that are mentoring them are Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley, JaVale McGee, and LeBron James.
Michael Beasley. Mm-hmm.
Michael Beasley hasn't seen that many minutes, which is fine by me. Lance has been okay, even with all his dances and his quirky things. He's been a good addition. So yeah.
And as much as I am a JaVale, I love JaVale. I think he's amazing. I don't see why. No. Like, he's amazing, but he has no business mentoring anyone.
No. Oh, God.
But
no.
You know that LeBron is going to be on Shaq's team this week, right?
Can you, of course. And he's been there before. But can you imagine, you know, going to your office? Like, let's put this in our perspective. Showing up to your office and then JaVale McGee goes there like, oh, yeah, man, you're going to shadow me all day. It's like, no. No. I don't want to.
And can you imagine the Lakers doctor every game before the start of the game? They just go to Michael Beasley and they go like, are you okay to play today? Or are we going to be in trouble with the drug policy? With the NBA
whenever he
policy?
Plays in Toronto, he's fine. He's going to love Toronto. I'm telling you that. He might actually request to be traded to the Raptors.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
Which is fine. Speaking of the Raptors and the Bucks, holy hell. I mean, I was hoping the Raptors were good, but I didn't expect them to be this good. The three of us went to that preseason game here in Vancouver.
And it was awesome.
And we thought that Kawhi looked good in a Raptors jersey. He looked a little bit rusty, but that's obviously from all those many months, if not a year, of not playing basketball. But my God, I mean, he's taking that team to the next level.
But to be fair, DeRozan is also playing
out of his mind.
Yeah, he's so good right now.
Both of them are really, they're fitting well into their new teams. They're making the effort. They're just making a difference on their respective teams now.
Which is, I mean, I think Toronto is definitely scarier than the Spurs right now.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely got, they were the winners of that trade just because Kawhi, he also defends.
Yeah, Kawhi is going to give you everything on both sides of the court. Yeah.
Are we going to talk about the no-look steal? Because that was...
Oh, that was insane. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my God. So, okay. So, they were playing against the Timberwolves. And out of the corner of his eye, Kawhi just sees that, I think it was Gorgui Dieng. He was going to...
Just did a backdoor cut.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler did the backdoor cut. And he just assumed that Gorgui Dieng was going to just...
He jumped,
bounce pass.
Yeah.
And then...
He just knew a bounce pass was going to be coming.
Yeah. He turned around, just jumped. He looked like, I don't know, like James Bond. And he grabbed the ball in his two humongous hands. That was insane. I mean, awesome. That takes so much awareness. He looked like
a
ninja.
That was next level. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an MVP kind of play.
Mm-hmm.
But
I saw that.
They lost against the Bucks, who are right now the remaining undefeated team in the league.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. I think the biggest change there is not only... I mean, they have a young core, and they obviously have Giannis Antetokounmpo, but I think the changing coaching staff, so Mike Budenholzer...
Budenholzer is doing well, I think.
They're buying into his system.
Yeah.
I haven't had the chance to watch a game, like only the highlights from the Bucks, but I feel like it's a one-man show kind of. Like
I don't know.
He's doing everything. His numbers are just insane.
But that's him. That's just him.
Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, but he's also his minutes have gone down as far as minutes per game, obviously.
Right.
Which is more impressive because he's doing like he's putting the same numbers with less minutes.
Oh
right?
Yeah, granted, yeah.
He didn't play yesterday against the Raptors and the Bucks just won fair and square.
Mm.
It was a good win for the team. Chris Middleton is having I think he's severely underrated. And what's his name? The guy that went from Phoenix, Eric Bledsoe.
Uh-huh.
I think the coach, Coach Mike Budenholzer, he sat down with him like, "Look, this is your role, and if you want to win, just stick to your role."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Eric Bledsoe understood that, and he's having a good season so far.
Yeah,
but and a few surprises here and there. Like Detroit is doing well. I don't know if that's sustainable. I still want to see, I don't know, five more games. From Detroit.
I'm actually impressed with the rookies so far. They've been playing well. Like Trae Young and also Luka Doncic.
Trae Young has, I mean, yes. I think Luka makes a more of a difference than Trae Young at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're having good seasons. One thing that I think we can quickly talk about is the Wizards and how much they're imploding right now. They're 1-6.
Yep.
Dwight hasn't stepped a foot in the court because I think he still injured his ass, as I mentioned last episode. There's no other way to put it. The guy that is a pain in the ass injures his ass. That's just poetic. And last game, they're just starting calling each other out, questioning each other's shot selection. I think it's time for the Wizards to say, blow it up. Just trade everyone that has value at this point.
And obviously, the game when Steph dropped 51 against Washington.
That was crazy.
That was insane. It was insane. It was a great performance by Steph. But Washington didn't even bother playing defense. They let the Warriors just walk all over them.
Did you see? There was this one play where I think Steph goes to the rim. And I think it's Kelly Oubre. I can't remember.
Yeah.
He just goes like, I give up. Like, there's nothing you can do against this man. And I think that's the collective sentiment when you play against the Warriors. That is like, what am I supposed to do? I'm defending.
That was a different story. That was, you know, not terrible defense. And that's just Steph being Steph. There were a lot of plays. If you go back and watch, there were a lot of plays that the Warriors just kind of walked in. They, you know, the defense fell apart to the point where people were just not even attempting to get to their man.
Was that when they were already losing by 30 or by 20? Or was that when they were still trying to compete? Because if it's when they're already losing by 30 and he's making shots from half court, I mean, it must be frustrating if you're a professional player and this guy is making like more than one shot from half court.
Mm-hmm.
That's like crazy. That's like...
But that's his range. I mean, that's the crazy part. Can we just take a moment to acknowledge that first, Steph Curry, his range goes even back to the half court, like the logo area in any arena. That's his range.
Yeah.
And that's a shot that if he takes, if I were the coach, I'd be like, yeah, fine. Any other player, like, no. I'll probably bench you.
And
I
was in Brazil when that happened, but I watched the highlights. And now in Brazil, we have like almost 5 or 6 games per week live on Brazilian television, which is amazing.
It's pretty
cool,
yeah.
I watched a couple of games live. They were a bit too late, so I was not able to watch a lot of games. But I was watching the highlights, and I saw the highlights of that game. And I also was watching Jalen Rose talking about the performance. And he was comparing Steph to a Globetrotter from the 80s.
Yeah, I saw this.
Oh, yeah.
Guy that used to make shots from half court as well.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Like, I mean, that's the kind of performance that he's putting up. You know, like, it's almost like you're watching the Globetrotters playing against the Washington Nationals, which is crazy.
The Generals.
Generals, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Nationals are a legit team.
Yes,
they're a baseball team. Major League Baseball, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So not the Nationals, the Generals.
do they suck as well, like the Generals?
I think they haven't won a game. Actually, they might have. I don't know. That's something.
See,
that
the problem is Washington.
The Wizards are playing like a baseball
Washington
team.
Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
Washington Wizards, Washington Generals, and Washington Nationals. They all suck.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm not a baseball guy, but I would say I think it's safe to say that they suck right now. Sorry,
okay.
Washington. You need to do better.
There's a lot of sucking going on in Washington across the board.
Is that inside the White House or outside the
White House? Yeah. let's go back to talk about basketball. So we were talking about the Warriors. So, Jason, that's your team. You sort of stopped watching basketball for a little bit, and then you found the Warriors and Steph. And
I am a proud bandwagon fan. I will admit that.
But at
loudly.
This point, I don't think you're bandwagon anymore. I think you're... You might be die easy, not a diehard fan.
I'm bandwagon. And again, I became a Golden State fan in 2015, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I a little background info. I stopped watching and playing basketball for about 10 years. I was living overseas and just, you know, lost interest for a bunch of reasons. When I came back to Vancouver, I didn't watch for a few years. And then it was... I used to love basketball and I heard about this Steph Curry guy in the Golden State Warriors. I was like, I'll catch a game or two. And that got me back into basketball. So I'm fully a Golden State fan now, huge fan, but 100% bandwagon. And I have no qualms about that. They got me back into basketball and I'm you know, happy about that.
Are you a Steph Curry fan or a Warriors fan?
I have tried to figure that out myself, and I won't be able to answer that until Steph gets traded.
If he ever gets
traded.
Yeah, he won't. So,
but if Klay and Draymond and KD, if they all c- kind of go their separate ways.
Yeah.
At that point, I'll have to. That'll tell me if I'm a Golden State fan or a Steph fan.
It's, but before you went overseas, it's a little bit of both. Before you left Canada to go abroad for a while,
mm-hmm.
you said about 10 years, right?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Did you have a team? Were you a fan?
I was a Jordan Bulls fan until 99.
So you clearly like the teams that, like the dynasties. You like the dynasties.
Well, I was a teenager then.
I think it's safe to say that.
I like exciting, you know what, this is the thing. I'm a basketball fan.
Yeah.
I don't have any allegiances. You know, Rodri, you're a Lakers fan through and through forever. It doesn't matter if they're winning or losing. And I respect that.
Yeah.
I'm not you like better. That. I'm a basketball fan. You know, I love watching good basketball. And if Golden State is the team that's exciting right now, that's who I'm going to watch. 10 years from now, who knows? Maybe it's going to be, Minnesota. Maybe it's going to be the Lakers. Maybe it's, you know, it doesn't really matter who it's going to be. I want to watch great basketball, and Golden State is the team for that right now, for me.
It is. I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow for me, because for so many years, when I became a Lakers fan, to me, the Warriors were an easy win. That, you know, going to Golden State meant the Lakers will win.
Yeah.
Up until, you know, in the past 5 to 7 years, that's when I was like, oh, okay, better start watching those Warriors. And I was like, no, there's no way that anyone can beat them.
Well, but the last opportunity the Warriors had to be a good team was when they had Latrell Sprewell, Jamal mm-hmm. Mashburn, and who was the other guy? Baron Davis. Yeah.
No, that's it. We Believe Warriors.
We Believe Warriors, yeah.
The ones that beat the Mavericks when they were seeded number one.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the early mid '90s Warriors.
Yeah, Chris Mannin was definitely there. Latrell Sprewell, Jamal Mashburn, and I think there was one more player.
Wasn't it Anton Jameson?
Anton Jameson, yeah.
No, he's early 2000s. I would say the Warriors.
Team Hardaway, right? Team Hardaway played for the Warriors or no?
Oh, that was... No, but this is the TMC Warriors. Like, Team Hardaway, Chris Mullin, and TMC.
See, this is my area of not watching. So.
Richmond. Mitch Richmond. TMC. Ron TMC. The Ron TMC Warriors. Yeah. You made me think hard about that one. But let's jump back to the present.
I have a good memory about some stuff, but I normally it's like partial memory. I don't remember the whole thing. So I just have to make Rodrigo remember, and then he adds the
last which makes me question, like, how come I remember those things, but not what I learned in, like, high school? But anyways, that's a different...
You remember the important things, that's why.
Thank you, yeah. Things that actually matter to me.
Yeah.
Screw you, algebra. I never use it. This Warriors team is unbelievable. I mean... in the span of 3 nights, Steph goes for 51 points, and then Klay Thompson goes out and breaks Steph's record for most threes in a game.
And KD dropped 41 or something.
Yeah.
25 in the fourth quarter.
I mean,
last game.
What do you do against a team like that?
Mm.
I don't know. And it seems that DeMarcus Cousins is going to be, or is projected to be back in late December. So their starting lineup is going to be Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green,
Kevin Durant,
and DeMarcus Cousins. I mean,
it's absurd.
I mean,
if you try to do that on a video game, I'm pretty sure the game will crash.
Yeah.
It won't let you put that starting lineup.
And actually, as a Warriors fan, I was not a fan of the DeMarcus Cousins.
How come?
Because they've got this. The Golden State haters all say, "Okay, it's a super team. You know, what can we do against a super team?" But I disagree with this because they drafted Steph, they drafted Klay, they drafted Draymond.
Right.
Three of their starters they drafted, you know, and none of them were, you know, number one picks.
Yeah.
Steph was number 8 or something.
Yeah.
Draymond was like number 35.
Yeah.
You know, none of them were like, you know, the golden child kind of thing
right.
when they were drafted. Yes, they signed KD, but signing a superstar, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, every team signs a superstar at some point. Now, with DeMarcus Cousins, they've now signed two superstars. This takes them from legitimate, this is a team we built, to a team that we bought. Now, granted, they only paid him $5 million or whatever. But, they've done 3 out of the last 4 years where I think legitimate championships. We built this. We earned this. With the addition of DeMarcus Cousins, I don't feel like they've earned it so much anymore. They've paid for it.
But
even though it wasn't like they paid that much, you know?
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I was already a bit concerned when KD came and joined them. But with Boogie Cousins, I feel like he has a lot to prove. Because he's coming back from injury. Didn't work in Sacramento. It didn't work in New Orleans. He has a lot to prove. You know, like, he's granted he's a superstar, he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
However, he never managed to be on a winning team. Like, of course, the Pelicans, okay, they were doing okay last
year.
They
were about to do some great things.
Yeah, but they were playing better when he got hurt. And AD was playing by himself. So now DeMarcus has a lot to prove as well.
Well, of course. I mean, he's got a reputation.
It's not like when KD came, you know. KD is the kind of superstar, like same level as LeBron.
I think maybe one of the major differences, and correct me if I'm wrong, say, you know, you guys know a lot more about this than I do, but Steve Kerr commands so much respect from his players and from everyone around the league. They all know that Steve Kerr knows what he's doing. Anyone who comes into the Warriors, I think they're just going to put their pride and their, you know, personalities aside and say,
yeah,
I'm going to do whatever this man wants me to do because he's a winner.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr is a winner, like, above anyone else.
I would say it goes to an organization level at this point. Like, the entire Warriors organization at this point, if you want to be part of that team at any level, you have to sort of check your ego at
exactly.
the entrance and then come in.
But we talk a lot about the Warriors, but I think not everyone acknowledges what Steve Kerr is doing, because he was like basically working for TNT or for ESPN before.
He was,
TNT,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he just decided to take that job, and he became the greatest coach at the moment, and arguably he's gonna end up being one of the greatest coaches ever, and he's also one of the players with the most rings. So like, the guy is a winner. Like, everything he tries to do, he does well, and he knows how to be a role player,
mm-hmm.
and now he's a great coach as well. So,
and
although Mark Jackson keeps trying to get credit,
I think he's
the truth is that he wouldn't have managed to take them to a championship.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Even with the same team.
Yeah.
Even with the same team. And maybe even with KD, who knows?
Yep.
And Steve Kerr got punched by Michael Jordan. So that's an accolade of its own.
Yeah, seriously.
Not everyone gets punched by Michael Jordan.
Well, I think probably lots of people
have. Well, probably, yeah.
and you should add to all the things that I mentioned, the fact that second season, when was that the second championship, that he was struggling a lot with the back pain?
Yeah,
Mike Brown
took over for
most of the season.
Games of the season or something? Luke Walton. No, Mike Brown.
No, it was Luke Walton.
No, it was Mike Brown.
What about Alvin Gentry? Wasn't Alvin Gentry?
Wait. No,
wait,
no.
Which year are you
no.
talking about? I'm talking about like 2 years ago.
I'm talking about the year that he actually got surgery and he was away for a long time.
That was Luke
Walton.
Even
at the beginning of the playoffs, he was away.
That
I
was
think.
Luke Walton. Because there were talks of like, even if Luke Walton should be considered for a coach of the year that year.
Mm.
But it was
which
Steve
year are you talking
Christie.
About?
That's the year
I'm talking like 2000. 16.
That was the year that they went for. Wasn't that the year that they went for 70? What was it? 72
yeah, it was Mike,
wins.
It wasn't Luke Walton. It was Mike Brown.
It was Mike Brown.
I'm pretty sure.
Did they end up losing? Did they end up losing that year?
It
listeners,
was,
we
so,
are
okay,
looking
okay.
it up right now.
So from the four championships, it was Warriors, Cavs, Warriors back to back, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm talking about the first of the back to back, like 2 seasons ago.
And I
okay.
think I'm talking about.
Or the year before, possibly. I don't remember exactly.
I'm talking about the year that they lost to the Cavs when they got to the finals.
Maybe that's the year I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely talking
that's
about
the year
Brown.
That he was away most of the time, and he got surgery, and it was actually debatable
yeah,
if he would
coached
come back.
The first game of the playoffs, and then left and was gone for the next for the rest of the first round and the next two rounds, I think.
So there were, I mean, there was this stretch of time when, this is from 2007, yada yada. There were two stretches when, and one of them, the longest one, if I'm not mistaken, Luke Walton took over. And then it might have been Mike Brown. So,
mm-hmm.
because I remember that was the last year that Luke Walton took over as head coach. So, we just looked it up. God bless the internet. And there were two stretches when Steve Kerr was out. And if we're wrong, make sure that you let us know on Instagram. But the one that Rafael is talking about was a time when Steve Kerr got back surgery and he was replaced by Luke Walton. That was the longest stretch that Steve Kerr was away from the team. Then the one that you're talking about, Jason, was the most recent one with Mike Brown.
Yeah.
So technically, you're both right.
All right.
Small victories. It's all about small victories. But okay, since we're talking about the Warriors, I think it's time for some conspiracy theory.
Oh, do you want my conspiracy?
I do. So we went out on Thursday and we were having some drinks, and then Jason told me this crazy conspiracy theory about the Warriors that I told him, like, save it for the podcast.
Yeah, he wouldn't even let me tell him when we were having some beers because he wanted it to be now.
Exactly. Yeah. So
I wasn't here for that, so...
No, you weren't. Yeah.
So we're all ears.
Okay. So this will take a couple of minutes, okay? So
go for it.
So buckle up. Here's my... I wouldn't call it a conspiracy theory. It's a thought. And it's a thought I had before the beginning of this season that I think is starting to pan out. And it's basically this. This is all about Steph and the Warriors. So Steph had his...
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. 99% of my thought processes are about Steph and the Warriors.
Sorry, I thought it.
So... Steph, okay, they had their first championship, then they lost to the Cavs,
right?
Then they got KD. And so for the last, and then they got their two championships with KD. So over the last 2 years and their two championships, Steph has, he's such a good guy, right? He's, you know.
He's a good teammate.
He's a family man. He's a good teammate. Even last night when we were watching, like, he was feeding Clay.
Yeah.
You know.
He celebrated the shot that broke his record.
Exactly. Like, he wanted Clay to break his own record. He's just a team-first kind of guy.
Yeah.
And for the last two seasons, he's been team-first 100%. He wants the championships. He wants the camaraderie. You know, he's all about the team. But I personally think that he's... the best player in the NBA, the most skilled player in the NBA. And over the last two seasons, he's not been able to show that. Basically because he is team first, and he's got KD, who's, you know, another MVP, another, you know, four-time scoring champ or whatever.
Yeah.
He's got Clay, he's got all these role players on the team, and he really wants them to win together. They've done that. They've done that three out of the last 4 years. So here's the conspiracy. And there, I have absolutely nothing to back this up. This is 100% my own thoughts, okay?
All right.
I'm imagining. Okay?
Yes.
There's a meeting this past summer. Steph.
So it is the summertime.
It's the summertime.
It's the off-season.
They have just won their third championship. They've done the repeat. Okay, we're talking like July probably.
Okay.
Okay.
Early August.
Early August. It doesn't matter when. You know, it's off-season.
I just need more context. I need to feel the inspiration.
Okay, so the sun is on their faces. They're on a beautiful patio. There's olive trees. I don't know why. Just blowing
just
in
trees.
The wind above them.
Yeah.
Just trees, whatever. Steph says, listen, guys, we have won three out of the last four. We've been doing well. Kevin, you've gotten your... I don't know if he calls him Kevin or not. But
Kevin.
Kevin.
Okay, KD.
KD.
Kevo.
I think he calls him Kev.
Kevo.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Basically, I think what happened was Steph said, you know, I have the capability to destroy this entire league, and I haven't been. I've been playing second fiddle, or at least not second fiddle, but my personal abilities and whatnot have been pushed to the side for the team. I want to change that. I want one season of me showing the league what I can do. I don't want the league, the fans, I don't want them to forget what I'm capable of. I just want to show them that Steph's still around and, you know, Steph has deliberately taken a back seat.
Okay.
Steph is now talking about himself in the third person here.
I know how he calls KD.
What does he call him?
Big D.
Big D?
Yeah. What's up, Big D?
I don't know about that.
No?
I think he calls Draymond that. Big D.
Yeah.
So, I think that this summer... Steph said, give me one season. Just one season to blow up a few of my own records, one of which is his own 402 three-pointers.
Okay.
Okay, so he went in 2015, 286 three-pointers. Or no, sorry, the year before, 286 three-pointers.
Yeah.
Then he blew up his own record for 402, which was enormous. I think it was one of the greatest accomplishments in all of sports history. To destroy any record by like 40% is huge, but to destroy your own record by 40% or 38% or whatever it was, it was ridiculous. And he's capable of so much more. I think that he is going to go for 500 threes this year.
500.
500.
No.
And when we talked about this on Thursday, I said 425. And
I have it written down here.
I know. And I was being conservative just because 500 sounds ludicrous. But hold on.
Okay.
He averaged 5.1 that season.
Yeah.
Which gave him 402 three-pointers. Okay. If he averages one three-pointer more than that, and I'm you know, calculating a full 82 games, that's 500 threes. It's only one three-pointer more per game, which in the grand scheme of things, I mean, it's another 20%. It sounds like a lot, but we're talking about Steph. He's been dropping 5-6 threes per game for the first seven games, or for the first six games, and without even really, you know, trying that hard, you know?
But I think that even...
So 500, that's my conspiracy. So, aiming for 500, he's going to achieve minimum 425. And I'm going to put it out right here. I'm going to give you an actual number.
Okay.
That we can go back and verify.
Oh, you're okay. Going on the record. Okay.
On the record. 400 and 460.
460.
Yeah.
There you have it, folks.
Yeah. So
it's conspiracy time over here.
Come June, you heard it here first. Steph Curry, 460 three-pointers this season.
But there are two things that I want to mention here. I love your conspiracy theory,
mm-hmm.
but I think
I enjoyed that you give us an ambience. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, the olive trees. It's all about the olive
trees. It's all trees.
I don't know why I pictured this in Italy, but I did.
I probably have a more rational explanation on why he's playing so well.
Okay.
Rational? So you call him irrational?
No.
So you think that Jason's out of his mind?
It's not the first time.
I'm not saying that.
That's when you...
I'm just saying that... If we think about last season or the season before that, he was hurt for like the last bit of the regular season and then he came back for the playoffs, correct?
Yeah.
That was last season, yeah.
Yeah, last season.
Yeah.
So I also think that he wasn't playing the same level that we are used to watch him play because of that. So it's not that he didn't have the space to be himself or that the team was not allowing him to be the first guy or the one taking the shots. I think it was also because of his injury. He was coming back from injury.
This is last season for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the first season, maybe then I agree with you that was more like they were still adapting to playing together.
Well, and
KD was coming as the superstar.
Exactly.
So they were giving a lot of, you know, like a lot of space to KD because they wanted him to feel like he was fitting in. But I think last season, they were already playing as a team, but the fact that he got hurt, I think that really affected his numbers. And I think this season he's back to what we are used to see, you know, like.
But here's the thing, I don't disagree with that. I think you're right there. But when KD joined the team, they had only won a single championship. Mm-hmm. You know, they hadn't proven anything. They'd had two great years, but only a single championship. Now they've got three. Now they don't need to win anymore. They don't need to prove themselves anymore. It's been proven. And I think, you know, in this hypothetical conversation that happened over the summer, Steph said, hey, I can average my 6 3-pointers a game, and KD can still get his 26, 28 points a game, and Klay can still get his 24 points a game, or whatever it is. You know, it was basically Steph. This is how I picture it, is Steph saying, I want to blow up the league one more time. And actually, I'm going to go ahead with the conspiracy a little farther.
Oh, God.
I think this is the last year for the Warriors.
Mm.
Yeah, I
think they're going to win again.
Yeah, that's not too wild.
That's not too wild. It'll be a three-peat. It'll be 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
You know, I think KD's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe New York. Who knows? You know, Klay might go to the Lakers. Let's talk about that.
Knock on wood.
Steph will stay.
I think Steph will stay. I think Draymond too. I think Steph and Draymond are going to be.
I'll go ahead and say that for their careers. Steph is going to retire a Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think he doesn't. I think he's capable of getting to the 500 three-pointers for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think he needs to do that for us to remember this season as an amazing season for Steph.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but. He does.
No.
There's
no. If he keeps shooting from half court, He's been doing that for the past five years. Game against the Wizards was like crazier than anything I've seen from him before.
And I think people forgot that was exactly.
Yeah. And that's because of the saturation of superstars in the Warriors. Like, we all got tired of following the Warriors because, you know, we knew they were going to win. And, I mean, I don't know if he's going to go for 500. I think it's doable just based on the pace that teams are playing this season. I mean, I don't think I've seen a score or just a couple of the games have finished on below 100. This is by far one of the fastest paces the league has seen in years. But hold on, let me finish. Sorry, you were about to interrupt. I'm sorry. I think that we just forgot how great Klay is because, sorry, Steph, mm-hmm. because you have Klay, you have KD. With bringing in Boogie, that meant that, you know, a lot more attention to someone else that is not Steph. Now, LeBron goes to the Lakers. That's another spotlight on the West. I think there's just too many good players in the West, too many good players overall in the league, that sometimes we forget how good Steph is. And the MVP is not anymore about, you know, who's the actual most valuable player. It is normally who has had the best offensive season to that point. So you have to score a ton.
And it's not even about pure scoring numbers, although obviously that's a huge part of it. Steph's not going to win another MVP unless he does something absolutely insane.
I agree with that.
And even averaging 35 a game wouldn't get him an MVP, because 35 a game is amazing,
yeah,
but it's not mind-blowing.
I agree with that.
Getting 500 three-pointers in a season is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And, sorry, just one last thing. Mm-hmm. Not counting, I was looking this up yesterday, players who have hit over 250 threes in a season is Steph, Klay, George McLeod, I think.
Probably Reggie Miller?
Nope.
No.
And James Harden. Okay. And I think there's one more that I'm forgetting about.
George McLeod.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy hell.
But so not counting himself and Klay and James Harden and George McLeod. It's twice as many three-pointers as any other NBA player has ever hit. More than twice as many, you know? He needs to blow it up.
I agree that he would need something like that, like 500 threes or something amazing to get the MVP again.
Yeah.
However, what I'm trying to say is that this performance against the Wizards, it's already, like, as far as I can remember, it's one of the most memorable performances, like individual performances.
It was incredible.
In the NBA.
I don't know,
I think that game happened because Steph's got this hypothetical conversation I'm talking about in his mind, going, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah. And of course,
I'm gonna chuck it from half because Steve Kerr in this hypothetical meeting gave me the go ahead, and KD gave me the go ahead, and Klay gave me the go ahead, and they all said, yeah,
let's all work together and make Steph
get 500 threes.
In this meeting, I think Klay was high. I don't know why I picture him. He's got
because
that,
everyone does.
He's got that surfer type to him. He's like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like,
I'm sorry, Kareth. What was the question again?
He's just petting his dog. He's like, was that Rocco? Yeah. And Dream Voice is like, whatever.
I'm surprised.
So, but you know what? Again, it's the camaraderie of the Warriors. It's the same. The thing that I'm talking about could potentially happen for the same reason that Klay got his 14 threes last night, is the rest of the team going, yeah, we want you to break this record. We want you to crush this, even if it means beating my own record. I want you to break it. I want more challenge.
Okay. Enough you about know? The Warriors.
No.
Okay. I want to propose
hold on,
a new
never.
Topic
hold
before
on.
You move to the agenda.
Before we,
okay,
move
okay.
on,
yeah.
before we move on, I just want our audience to let us know what they think. Is Steph going to make it to 500 threes? Let us know on Instagram when we post our weekly post about the podcast. I'm curious. I don't think he'll do it.
460, baby.
But
460.
460 to 500 on the record. We should have bet something. Maybe that'll come later.
We can make a bet now. Listeners, what do you think we should bet?
I'm scared because I already wore a Celtics jersey for this podcast.
Uh-oh.
So
did you?
I did. Yeah. And I didn't puke. That's the takeaway. All right. Enough Warriors.
I was going to propose another topic. So
yeah.
you're a bandwagon fan,
mm-hmm.
and you chose the most popular team. So
you make
I just wanted to propose that we take 5 minutes to talk about, you know, teams that we are not expecting and individual players that we are not expecting to perform as well as they're performing so far.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
First one I wanted to mention is the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Milwaukee.
Oh God,
Bucks.
No! I got the Nuggets in. I think the Nuggets will do it. That's it. I'm not gonna go into further detail.
Well, when they'll do it, what do you mean? Make the playoffs?
They will do it. No, I think they will do it. They will make the playoffs.
What's no, but make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but were you expecting the Nuggets to start the season like this?
Not this strong, but strong, yeah. Who I'm actually more worried about the Jazz than the Nuggets at this point.
Well, when you say worried, do you mean
they're not doing well?
Making the Lakers not make the playoffs?
Oh God,
when you
no.
Say worried?
I'm worried as in, I don't know if I had the Jazz being a top four team.
Mm-hmm.
At this pace, I don't think they'll be top four.
Well, who else would be?
So I would say right now, Warriors.
Yeah.
Nuggets.
Okay.
New Orleans. The Pelicans.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't want to say Portland.
And the Jazz, man. And the Jazz.
I don't want to say
yeah.
Portland.
Donovan
but maybe.
Mitchell's awesome. Rudy Gobert is awesome.
I don't want to say Portland because
Joe Ingles
I guess
looks like a mechanic, but he's awesome.
I wish I could.
They're too thin, though. Like, the team, they don't have enough pieces. They would be an amazing team if they were not a West, if they were not on the West Conference.
Yeah.
You know who I think will fall off very quickly? Detroit. Charlotte. I mean, that doesn't say much because they're 4-4.
Season, but, yeah.
But it's the Hornets. I mean, what do you expect from them? I'm surprised that the Sixers are struggling right now. I think they'll pick it up.
What about the Rockets? Because I you know,
good.
That
let's
I'm
talk
very,
about the Rockets. What
I'm,
the hell's happening
I'm very
there?
Critical about Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
you're a
the
Carmelo
fact
hater.
That Carmelo Anthony joined the Rockets, it seems like he ruined the chemistry.
Well,
just like
just,
he does every time he goes to a place.
It wasn't
yeah,
just
he's
Carmelo.
Awful. He's awful.
They got rid of Trevor Ariza. They got rid of Luka Mbamute.
Mm-hmm.
And they added Carmelo.
Can we just acknowledge that I've been saying all the names correct today?
You
thank
have not
you.
Been.
I, wait.
Say it again.
Luka Mbamute.
No.
How is it supposed to be
Luka
pronounced?
Luka Mbamute.
Luke what?
Mbamute.
Mba?
Mba.
Who's that? Who says that? No.
That's what it is.
It's Luka Mbamute.
Well, fine. Okay.
No.
You said another one incorrectly earlier and I wasn't going to say anything.
So much for
Alvaro Camino.
Alvaro Camino.
I said Alvaro Camino.
What if you said it wrong? I don't know.
No, he mentioned it. No. You know.
Doesn't
what?
Matter. Doesn't matter.
So much for being our first guest.
Yeah.
We should try to play that game.
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
You know, inside the NBA, they play that game with Charles Barkley every season, where they make him guess where the guy is playing this season.
Yeah, that one's
we should
tough.
Play that with me.
Oh yeah.
Because you remember that episode
knows.
That I didn't.
Last
I didn't
episode.
Know about. What's the German guy that is playing for OKC now? Schroeder?
Oh, Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was still with Atlanta. And then there was another player that was like, oh,
like
yeah, they're
going
to do well because they have this guy. Rodrigo was like, no, they don't.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the Rockets and actually the Thunder.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder's hair is awesome this year.
Oh, God, no.
It's awesome.
It's terrible.
It's awesome.
It's kind of awesome.
He looks great.
What's the name of the guy that used to play for the Magic? He had the weird hair.
Oh, geez.
Payton? Is it Payton?
Alfred Payton.
Alfred Payton.
He's in Phoenix.
Phoenix? Or OKC?
Phoenix. Oh, Phoenix. Yeah, you're
so
right. It looked like a boot.
Yeah.
So an old boot that you'd fish and wing.
I was watching Inside the NBA the other day, and they were saying that he was playing.
He's doing well.
Well.
Yeah.
And they were actually saying that they believe that it's because of his hair, because now his hair is different. He cut his hair.
Yeah, he cut his
so
hair.
So they are saying that it's legit because of how his hair looks right now.
Yeah, it's hard to play with a towel like hanging over your face.
I mean, every time you go for a jumper, you have not only your defender, but you can't see.
I couldn't believe that his coaches never told him, like took like pruning shears and just chopped that shit off.
I would sit down with him and be like, look, Alfred, you need to cut that out. Like,
Alfred, you're not in high school anymore.
Yeah. Your shooting percentage will go up, trust me.
The old boot look.
If it doesn't go up, you can grow it. You can do whatever you want with your hair. Anyways.
Anyway, back to the
Rockets.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just Carmelo. Honestly, like, it's easy to blame him, but it's a number of decisions that the Rockets did as an organization. With the Thunder, you know, I thought that it was just because Russell Westbrook wasn't with the team. And honestly, it's after, even now that he's back, watching an OKC game, it's just Russell Westbrook and Paul George, and that's it. They don't have anyone else. So it's going to be really hard for the Thunder. I'm glad that they're struggling because Paul George didn't want to go to the Lakers. So for all I care, and I think I've said this every episode, screw you, Paul George.
I don't know if I would go with that.
Just an angry,
I like Paul George.
You're just an angry Laker fan. Why you have to take every topic and make it a Laker
yeah, seriously.
Thing?
Because I'm a fan.
Who cares about the Lakers?
I do. Everyone
does. That's it.
If the Lakers do well, the NBA as a whole is doing fine.
That's not true.
The Lakers are an indicative of the league.
It's good
for the league
that the Lakers sucked for the past six seasons and still people are watching the NBA.
I agree. I'm not saying they're going to stop watching, but I'm just saying it's good for the league and for everyone that the Lakers make the playoffs.
It's funny you say that. I mean, what if the Lakers don't make the playoffs with LeBron? What if LeBron goes from making the finals 7 or 8 years in a row to not making the playoffs?
I think we talked about this.
Whose fault is that?
Oh, it's the Lakers as a team.
Would it not just be LeBron's fault?
No.
I mean, I do agree with you, but why not?
I mean,
he's the leader of the team.
So yeah. Obviously, he's going to, I think as the leader, he would take the blame.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got other players like Lonzo and Kuzma that are fairly mature for being that young. And they would also take their share of the blame. It would be the entire...
Did you say Lonzo's mature?
He is. Okay.
He looked like a microphone until like 8 months ago.
What? No. Okay. We still have time.
I was just reading that his baby mama is asking for 30K like child support thing every month.
That's his life. I'm not talking about his life off the
court.
He's not
mature at all.
I just want to know, Jason, you have 30 seconds right now to tell me why do you hate Lonzo Ball?
Okay. I have to be honest. It's an irrational hate. It's largely to do with two things, his father and his old hairstyle.
Which,
oh, no, sorry.
Right.
And a third thing,
sense.
obviously he's shooting for. I can hate anyone I want for any reason I want.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah.
Okay. But I hate Lonzo Ball.
It's irrational.
Because of his hair, his shooting style, and his father.
He's
gotten rid of one of those three.
No, two.
No.
His father?
His
father?
No. Because he hasn't gotten rid of his shooting style.
It's better.
Have you watched any
it's
Lakers
better.
Games?
I have. It's better. It's a lot better.
In what way?
He's not shooting the ball next to his face.
Yes, he is.
No, it's now in front of his face.
Ah.
Yeah, it's true. Check it. Okay.
But I just want to go back to something you said. You said if the Lakers are doing well, it's good for the league.
It is.
But to be honest...
It's good business.
Okay, can you mention the two biggest markets?
New York and LA.
And how have they been doing for the past 5 or 6 seasons?
Yeah, but you also...
They suck.
Yeah.
And the league is doing better than ever.
But those are also two fan bases that religiously go to the games, regardless of how the team is doing. Let's face it.
But it's a small...
Everyone gives us crap for being bandwagon fans, but honestly, the Lakers and the Knicks fan bases... They're both very strong. They're very regular. You have to give them that.
It's been a small market league for the past, I don't know, 8 years maybe?
I didn't know that
San Francisco
Antonio,
and
Cleveland. Oakland. What? Those are not small. I mean, they're smaller markets compared to the big cities. Yeah.
The two big markets are LA and New York. That's it.
Miami.
Some players want to go to Miami.
California, in its entirety, it's a big market. They wouldn't be building new... Atlanta's a big market. They just got a huge new arena. So, no. That I'm sorry, but no, your argument is flawed. It's got no grounds.
But when
I
asked you
to take
when
it.
I asked you about the two big markets, you said New York and LA.
They are the two biggest markets.
Yeah.
Yes. So no, but those are two very good fan bases. And I don't like the Knicks, but you know, props to and Boston.
Boston is a big market for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are fan bases that go back since the league started.
Yeah.
So that's only because they've been around since the league started.
Right, but I mean,
you know, it's kind of like
even if they suck, people will still go because it's not just about a social thing. It's not like with the Pelicans. The Pelicans, if they don't do well, if they have a crappy season, people are going to stop going.
But you still have small markets that it's people. Like, the audience will do the same thing. Utah, for example, they're very loyal. Portland, they're very loyal.
No. What do those two cities have in common?
Indiana, they're
What do those cities have in common?
Well, they only have one professional team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You just defeated your own argument.
No.
Boom. Get out.
No.
Get out.
No. I mean,
actually,
still, they're very loyal.
Anyways, we're gonna go down this rabbit hole. I don't want to.
Are we gonna talk about Halloween now?
Yeah, let's move on to the last item of our agenda. It is Halloween tomorrow, as we know. So, in the spirit of this very spooktacular festivity, what? You don't like puns? We decided to come up with our scariest starting five in basketball.
Do we need like explanations of why they?
An overall explanation. I don't need an explanation for why you chose that player, unless it's something weird. So
some of these names here, they would not need an explanation. Like, it's gonna be pretty clear why they're here.
Well
okay,
let's see.
Okay.
Who wants to start?
Okay, you go.
I'll go first. So I got first that Scary Terry Rozier.
Okay.
From the Boston Celtics.
So, are you just going by how scary they look, or if they're ugly, or if they have a nickname?
This is your Halloween list.
Yes.
Yeah, your Halloween
this is my
starting
Halloween
five.
Starting five.
Yeah.
If I have a team and all players are available and I need to come up with a starting five, so Terry Rozier, Scary Terry. Markieff Morris, one of the Morris twins. I'm terrified of those two. I think those guys are scary as shit.
Just because there's two of them.
Yeah, also.
I mean, they're huge.
I mean, they're scary. They're very intense. And also, if one goes down, then they might come back. And do you know if it's the same one? I don't know. I cannot tell them apart.
Do you think they ever play for each other's teams?
I wouldn't be surprised. That would be that would be amazing.
It's probably happened.
Which is scary. And also, that goes with like sort of the Shining, you know, the two twin girls there. So
I think the Morris brothers.
Markieff Morris.
Yeah, not similar to the two twins.
Then I got Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is a scary individual.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Then
he definitely looks like he's constantly wearing a Teenage Ninja Turtle costume, right?
Yeah, he does look like it. Yeah. Does. So yes. That goes in, you know, along with the spirit of Halloween.
Okay.
And then I went retro for these two last picks.
Okay.
I got Bill Laimbeer from the Detroit
Pistons. Yeah, why?
He was scary. Like, that guy would rather break an arm than having someone score in his basket.
Okay.
He's bad at the Chicago Bulls logo. That's a scary man. And last but not least,
mm-hmm.
Are you guys ready?
No.
Dennis Rodman.
Oh,
that's
Rodman.
Good.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. I can't believe I didn't think of that. Yeah,
well.
Okay.
That's my starting five.
He was a walking Halloween costume. So.
He was. He
yeah.
is
yeah.
up to this day.
Yeah.
All right.
You should go next.
Rafael, go
okay.
next.
Okay. So I have first one, Boban Marjanovic.
Yeah.
From the Clippers. Yeah.
Yes. Then I have George.
Can I just say he
yeah.
was born like 15 years too late because he should have been on the original Monstars.
That's true.
Yeah.
He looks
like
he was a, yeah.
way more so than Sean
the blue
Bradley.
One.
Like,
yeah,
exactly.
He
yeah.
looks like a
Marjanovic
monster.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Straight up.
Yeah.
We love you, Boban, though.
Yeah.
I have George Morrison. Remember this guy?
Oh,
he used to
play for the Washington
Bullets.
For the Bullets.
Yeah.
He looked
yeah.
like Frankenstein.
He looks like Frankenstein. That's
yeah.
why I added him.
That's a good pick.
So you got Marjanovic and Mirzan. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Then
I
had Dennis Rodman as well. You
yeah.
already mentioned him. Isaiah Thomas, just because he was a scary dude, like short guy.
He looks
but
like a Teletubby.
But he play like the way he plays,
yeah.
he's like very physical.
What's that terrible movie?
He also
sounds
like Michael
the
Jackson.
Leprechaun.
I mean, I don't know if that's scary or... I don't know.
What's that movie? The Leprechaun?
With Jennifer Aniston?
I don't know, but he can be that one. He played for the Celtics, so I guess it fits.
Then
Isaiah Thomas is one of the least scary human beings.
Yeah, I'm not
Earth.
Too scared
he's,
of him.
He's like a Care Bear.
So I have seven players. I don't have five.
Oh,
so
okay.
I have Manute Bol.
I had Manute Bol, yeah.
And I have Reggie Miller because he
what?
Looks so he's so ugly.
No,
he's so ugly.
Reggie
he's scary.
Reggie Miller's not ugly.
And then I have Delonte West because he's a bit mental, so he's very scary as well.
Oh, I could have gone with what's his name? Rasheed Lewis.
Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace. Thank you. Yeah.
Delonte
for that,
West
for that reason.
Delonte West is crazy. He's completely crazy.
I think your first two picks were very solid, and then you lost me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Okay. Jason.
So I also had Manute Bol, mostly for his likeness to Slender Man.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
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 I mean, Manute Bol, he's just a terrifying human being.
It is, yeah. If you give him one of those morph suits, yeah, he looks like Slender Man.
Like 14 feet tall, arms that are 3 inches wide, but, you know, 17 feet long. Just
that's
a scary human
that's
being.
That's scary.
Jamal Crawford, because I've just always thought he looks like a zombie.
I don't know. I don't know about Jamal Crawford.
He just looks like The Walking Dead to me. I don't know. I could just see him in an episode of The Walking Dead. I don't know why. Ben Wallace, because he's a beast.
Oh, Ben Wallace is scary.
He's just someone you don't want to run into
no.
in a back alley. Kind
Have
of thing.
You seen any photos of him recently?
No.
He's bald. Or he shaved his head.
Did he? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so he looks less scary now. So Afro Ben Wallace.
Afro Ben Wallace was terrifying.
But current day and age, Ben Wallace, he looks like someone's uncle.
And can I just quickly point out, Ben Wallace Afro, Lonzo Ball Afro. Like,
no, well, no. Okay, leave Lonzo alone.
No, he's horrible. Anyway, Sam Cassell, because he's one of the ugliest humans that's ever walked the earth.
Looks like an alien.
I'm sorry, Sam, I loved you, but you're not nice to look at. And Muggsy Bogues for kind of the same reason. Well, no, Sam and Muggsy are the only ugly ones. Jamal's not.
Jamal Crawford's not ugly, he just
looks like a zombie.
So you just
he looks like he died a decade ago.
You just said you think Ben Wallace is pretty then.
Ben Wallace is a good looking man. I won't, yeah, definitely.
So from all of those picks, I think our starting five combined should be Dennis Rodman.
Well, who's our one? Muggsy?
Or Delonte West?
I'll go with Muggsy Bogues.
You gotta go Muggsy.
Delonte West, he could murder someone.
He could, I agree, but I like Muggsy better.
Okay. As a player?
I don't know. I just like saying Muggsy Bogues.
Okay, yeah, Muggsy Bogues. It just rolls off the tongue. Yeah. You know?
I mean, that's a good nickname.
Yeah.
So I'll go Muggsy Bogues at point guard.
Yep.
Then for shooting guard.
We didn't have a shooting guard.
Well, I had Sam Cassell. He's not really a two, but
we can play with two point guards. We can play with two point guards. Okay. So Sam Cassell, yeah. All right. At three, who we got?
Well, I have George Morrison, but he's a center. Mariano Lynch is a center.
I want to see him at the three.
Let's go tall ball. So let's put George Morrison at three.
Oh, geez, Louise. Okay.
Then who we got? Ooh, this is tough. So we got Manute Ball.
We got Ben at four. Ben Wallace at four.
Because we have Marjanovic, have Manute Ball.
If you've got Marjanovic, Manute Ball, and George Mirzan, Ben Wallace is not playing the five. I'm sorry.
I think it's safe to say that tall people are ugly.
Manute Ball is not an ugly man either.
If you're above 7 feet tall, then you're not good looking. That's the conclusion of this episode.
Hold on. Okay. We're getting weird here, but who's the best looking 7-footer?
Oh, God.
You got KD. He's not bad looking.
He's 7-footer?
George Mirzan was horrific.
What about Kevin Garnett? How tall is Kevin Garnett?
He was like 7 foot.
Oh, Kevin Garnett was scary, man. Kevin Garnett was scary.
Kevin Garnett was like Manute Ball minus.
Yeah, but he was so intense. Do you guys remember when he used to bang his head against the basket stand just before each game? Was like, what is wrong with you, man? But that's intense. I respect that. Well, I mean, who's an attractive 7-footer? Joel Embiid?
Is he 7 feet? Yeah, I guess he probably is. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, but think about Jokic is not great looking.
See, when I think of these guys, KD, I'm not even talking about the good looking thing because it's kind of weird. I'm just saying, when I think 7-footer, I don't think KD. I don't think Jokic. Grant, I know that they are.
Yeah.
I think George Mirzan. I think Manute Bol. The guys that are like 7'7", 7'6". When I think 7-footer, I'm thinking of the guys that are like 7 foot plus a few inches.
Right. Right.
You know.
Yeah. No. I mean, sorry, that was my train.
None of us said Sean Bradley.
He's not scary. I'm not scared of Sean Bradley.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He's not a Halloween character.
No, I think that he escaped from a mental institution, maybe, but that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another guy that it's kind of scary for the same reason, he could just have been released from a mental institution is Austin Crozier. Remember him?
Austin Crozier.
From the Indiana Pacers?
No.
I don't know.
He looked like he could be a sexual offender.
Austin Crozier.
We're looking up his picture right now.
Oh, no, he's not a bad looking dude, actually.
Is that him?
I think you're talking about someone else.
He looked weird.
Yeah,
go to images.
I think we can agree that Dennis Rodman is a starter in this scary five.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, Muggsy Bogues, Sam Cassell, George Mirzan, just because he really looks like Frankenstein. Dennis Rodman, and then who we got?
I would go Manute.
Manute, what do you think, Raf?
Yeah.
So there we have it. Our scary five is Muggsy Bogues, Sam Cassell, George Mirzan, Dennis Rodman, and Manute Ball.
And by the way, I listed Delonte West. If you guys are curious to know more about him and what happened to him after he quit the Cavaliers, just go to YouTube and search for his name. And I think there's like a Vice interview. They went to his house And basically they interviewed him and talked about his struggles with mental illness and so on. The guy, like, he really went through a lot. Kind of similar to what's happening to Kevin Love now, but he didn't open up about it, and he was struggling the whole time he was playing in the NBA. And it's quite interesting to see that players can go through those things as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. That was not the direction I was going with this
NBA question, players, but they're people just like us.
Yes, exactly.
But with more money.
The more you know. The more you know.
With more money.
All right. Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. It's been fun. And I really look forward to next June when the world hears of my prediction, 460.
Is there a bet that we can come up with in the next minute or so?
We could keep it easy and just like
I'll make one more. I'll make one more bet.
Okay.
Actually, two. Well, kind of two more.
Okay.
No, one more.
Just, what is it?
Steph's going to beat 14 three-pointers.
That's not happening.
No, this season he's going to get, again, I want to say like 18.
No, what? No.
But I also want to be a little bit more conservative. So, I mean, I guess I'll just say 17.
No.
That would be crazy.
I'll say 16.
16.
He's
going to
have one game this season with 16 threes, and he's going to end up with 460 on the season. There we go.
If that happens, I'll go to Starbucks and...
You heard it here first, folks.
Another sound effect. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's another sound effect.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh, I'm full of them.
the gift that keeps giving. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's been fun.
It was a pleasure to have you. We hope that this can be repeated at some point in life in the future. Don't forget to rate us on Apple Podcasts. Send us a comment if you want. Make sure you check us out on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook.
Don't send me an email.
Don't send Rafael an email. You know he won't answer you back. Do send me an email, rod@dropping-tank.com. Check us out on social media. And until next week, peace out.
All right.